Hey, welcome to the Sexy Ginger Jesus Podcast. This is Brandon Marshall, and you are now tuning in to the series, the Visibility Challenge, that I had in my group, Who the Fuck is Brandon Marshall? This is content rich, this is amazing, and we're going deep into visibility. So any podcast that you see labeled with V1, V2, V3, etc., will be part of the Visibility Challenge. It's going to go deep into getting seen and heard on social media. So yeah, let's have a good time. And this podcast is sponsored by myself, Sexy Ginger Jesus. As I'm recording this, my book, King of Nothing, has a promotional offer on Amazon. So check that out. And also visit sexygingerjesus.com for more powerful content and also to learn how you can work with me personally. So without further ado, let's get into this challenge.
Oh, that was not supposed to start right there with my hand like that. That is unprofessional. Welcome to the final day, day three. I was considering, I don't know if I should make any promise. I was considering I'm always going to be adding value in this group. But I was considering adding some more stuff in the following days. But we'll see. No promises, no structure. This is a finalized day. This is the trilogy comes to a closure. And then if there's any bonuses I decide to drop in this group, then you'll be grateful for it because you'll be like, I didn't expect this. It was cool. So anyway, my name is Brandon Marshall. If you're wondering who the fuck Brandon Marshall is, fully understandable because who the fuck is Brandon Marshall is on brand for me. But welcome to the show. Welcome to the group. What's up? What's up, Fallon? Is that how do you say your name? Because I feel like I'm saying it wrong. I've seen you all the time, and then I'm like, wait, is it Fallon? But let me know if I got it. Yes, I got it right. I'm always like wondering if I get a name right or wrong, and then I ended up getting it right. Oh my god, that's fucking awesome. Hey Alyssa, and let me know if it's Alyssa. If I'm like, that would be fucked up if I was like saying your name wrong the whole time and then I'm like, oh wait. What's up, Heather? Or if it's Heather, let me know. if your name is really Heather this whole time, let me know. I'm just playing. But this episode is brought to you. This is sponsored by Mushroom Coffee. This is actually Mushroom Coffee this time. Hatch discount code SexyGingerJesus. But honestly, I gotta be honest with everyone here. I've been doing this discount code. So it's Alyssa or Alyssa? Fuck, I said it wrong. Or are you fucking with me? And then it's just gonna be like, okay, whatever. But this is so let's ground the energy here. I gotta be honest with the mushroom coffee thing. If I had the decision making behind the mushroom coffee affiliate link, I would be giving you a larger discount. And this isn't me trying to be the good guy, trying to be like the guy who's like, trying to play good cop, bad cop here or whatever. What I'm saying is, honestly, the best thing I found through my discount code for Mushroom Coffee is when Rebecca and I buy coffee for ourselves, but the shipping is slow. They're gonna disable my affiliate account. They're gonna find this and disable my affiliate account. But like directly from Four Sigmatic, the shipping is mighty slow. You get like a $3 discount or something, or a $2 discount. And then I get like 15%. So really it works for us when we buy it for ourselves. But I think of it as like the deal's not too compelling enough for people to come in. And it's not like I've been, it's not like the mushroom coffee is my bread and butter of my sales or anything like that. So I don't give a shit, but it's like, it's just, Hey, Roberta. So it's like really, I'm saying this like I think it's more of me to say it for you, but for me as well, I think it just would help me sell more if it was just a better deal. Like, why would someone get $2 off of mushroom coffee when they can get it on Amazon for like the same price and get one day shipping? It just doesn't make sense. What's up? Hey, Sevda. What's up, Ashley? Rhiannon. The hype around mushroom coffee is, for me, I don't know how to phonetically spell it, the first version of how you said it just now. So it's Alisa or Alyssa. I don't know. We'll voice message. Hey, Aska. And by the way, anybody here, I get their name wrong, feel free to correct me. This is a smart ass community. Just don't like, don't lie. Don't troll me because then it's going to confuse me even more. So yeah, what was I saying? Okay, what's the hype of the mushroom coffee? So the reason why I personally decided to do mushroom coffee is because regular coffee kind of gives you that, like, it's a more of a caffeine high and it's a bigger crash. And for me, like, I can get really obsessed with things and hypervigilant and like really, like, you know, I want more relaxation in my life. So mushroom coffee for me is like that calmness and the relaxation vibes of like still getting the taste of coffee and some caffeine, but it's more of like a evened out thing. It's more of like a flowy, like I feel energized, but it's not like a fucking volatile stock market type thing. What's up, Sarah? So that's why I love mushroom coffee. It tastes like, you know, I don't taste the mushrooms. It tastes like coffee. And I'm a fan of the dark roast. Like, I just like black coffee. That's how I roll. But they have all types of flavors and stuff like that. And if you get it off Amazon instead of the discount code SexyGingerJesus, I will not be offended because honestly, as I said in the beginning of this live stream, I'm starting to feel like it's just not compelling. Like the discount code isn't compelling enough. It's like $2 off, but I gotta wait 8 days. It's like, but they do it in a nice little package. I'll give them that. But get the coffee you need any way that's aligned for you. Your alignment means so much more to me than a 20% profit off coffee. What's up, Ashley? And Ashley, let's see. I'll go tarot reading first, and then we'll go into... I'm feeling the vibe of Ashley's post I saw this morning, and I wanted to go into that too. By the way, I also want to say that, you know, like the change I made in this group, I really appreciate like everyone showing up and like real and raw, and I think that's fucking awesome. And I just wanted to like reestablish saying that, you know, it's never really about a thing of like limiting self-expression, but I saw that there. I saw that opportunity there for people to show up in a vulnerable space or like actually like, you know, spreading more value around. And I just think the shift here is fucking awesome. So I appreciate you all. And today I'm gonna do a general reading to start off this live stream of the Sacred Rebels. So if you weren't here yesterday, it's a Sacred Rebel deck and I stand by it. I do not have an affiliate link for this either. I'm just sharing all the love of all the awesome things. Okay. So anyway, feels like this one wanted to come out. Fuck it, I think it's good. Going beyond normal. That's what we got for today. Going beyond normal. And it's funny because I remember pulling this card when I was launching my own program, Fuck Being Normal. so it's quite fitting. So 14, let's go into this reading. This is sort of like the prayer before we get into the call. I like it. All right. 14, going beyond normal. On the path of life, there are deciding moments where we can choose to go with the mainstream. Fuck the mainstream. It doesn't say that in this book. I just decided to add that. Or we can dare to take a bolder, more authentic, and trusting way. even if it seems riskier or less safe. To rely solely on logic and science without incorporating the mysterious and magical is a recipe for an existence that is far too dry. The sacred rebel within our hearts will always choose a juicier approach to life. Moist and juicy. The sacred, is that right to like break out jokes in a tarot reading? I don't think that's appropriate. The sacred rebel within our hearts will always choose a juicier approach to life. You are currently approaching such a choice point. You could say that the choice is about balance. It is less about choosing to honor either art or science, gardening or architecture, and more about integrating all approaches so that you enhance rather than hinder your life journey. Placing science or architecture above all else off the rebellious heart, steadfastly relying on logic, proof, and a complete set of plans to measure and dictate outcomes will suffocate the soul. Basing decisions on limited factors with an imbalanced measure of success is unnecessarily limiting. This approach prevents us from living freely, spontaneously, and with trust that we can rebel against the need to things to go strictly according to plan. Choose to value decisions based off passion and instinct and trust in life enough to embrace it as an adventure and let it unfold as it will. There's a time and a place for logic, strategy, planning, and measurable outcomes. They're not bad tools, but we must be vigilant not to worship them or allow them to quash are less rational but equally valuable decision-making tools. Intuition and intuition, feelings, and those things you know without knowing how you know them. The flowing inspirational energy of the heart may have no conceivable basis for logic or reason and still be uncannily accurate. To remain rebellious, we must not sacrifice the art of emotion, instinct, passion, and intuition for the science of logic and strict planning. On the other hand, gardening and art do provide us with a plan, a bit more loosely held. This plan still requires to set aside time to draw upon reliable methods and to prepare with certain tools. However, there is also a healthy dose of organic flow, responsiveness, and trust in the creative process of bringing something to life. This leads to the cultivation of most beautiful, abundant, and successful garden and the most vivid healing art. You are being asked to stay open to the intuitive approach in your life, your work, your creativity, as well as in your spiritual journey. The intuitive approach can be likened to the method of a gardener or artist. There's a sense of what might work where, and a loose or even detailed plan, but how the plan is carried out will depend on and respond to the flow of its surroundings. There is no need to control the situation, but rather a desire to nurture an idea to fruition. You may have pressures around you from the world or from your own conditioned nature. To do things according to the rules, to a deadline, or the accepted mainstream view that you need a well-thought-out plan for success in a commercial venture. However, sometimes the best plan is to do what feels intuitively truthful in the moment and to trust that you are being led towards your own growth. Oh my. Adopting this approach means you have to do far less planning and far more living. It is a pure and heart-centered way to manifest your art, your life and path, your essence into practical expression in the world. It involves a willingness to be led by nature instead of trying to control the powerful force of life, which is a bit like trying to fit a proverbial ocean in a teacup. It is far more intelligent to allow the ocean to be the ocean and to learn to swim in it rather than trying to cram it into a vessel that is much too small. This oracle brings you a special piece of guidance. You are moving outside the plan. You are living on the border of what is socially accepted. This is good. This is fringe-dwelling freedom. Others might not see this about you straight away, as you seem pretty normal. But that secret eccentric streak is just waiting to show itself. And maybe you are in it. You are an out and proud fringe dweller, completely comfortable with this way of being. Either way, this oracle brings you the message that you have now have a chance to live from the heart more deeply and expressively than ever before. It wants you to realize this is a legitimate, empowered, and creative way to live that honors all of you, all of that who you are. You can give up forcing or squashing yourself down into a very limited set of so-called desirable qualities like intellect and control. If you are yet to relate to this consciously, this oracle brings you further, the further message that you are going to be breaking up with the tradition. Perhaps not entirely, but at least in a way that is meaningful to you. This will require you to have courage in your convictions and faith in your heart truths. This will help you and inspire others around you to step out of fear and live more freely and lovingly. You are not necessarily meant to abandon logic and intellect together. You are to use them to serve the desires of the heart rather than replace its natural, spontaneous, and truthful nature with controlled planning and narrow strategy. It's time to get a bit wild and let nature take its course. Hey, hey, hey! I love that. I fucking love it. So, yeah. Powerful stuff. That actually reminded me of a quote that I saw one of my clients, Sarah, she made a quote from the book Big Magic on her profile, and it went something along the lines of, like, don't write a book to heal people or to help people. Write a book because it livens you up, because you want to share a story, because it gets your creative juices flowing. Like, share that book. And that's something that I relate to from my latest book and the books I've been writing. I've been, like, really passionate about creating these small books, and for a while now, I think I even mentioned a lot of this on the last live stream, but for a while now, I had this resistance in writing a book because I know I was taught the internet marketing way. In fact, in the first chapter of my book, I kind of go into that. But, like, the internet marketing way of becoming a best-selling author and all this good stuff. And I allow myself to be creative instead of thinking, like, I knew the book would help people, inspire people, make people laugh or whatever. But the beginning was, like, doing it for me and my creative expression. So a journaling prompt that you can do, and it wasn't necessarily something I planned, but a journaling prompt that you can do is, like, if money wasn't a factor and it didn't have, you know, anything to do with what I'm offering, what would I offer right now? And just write out what comes up through you. Because oftentimes we offer an offer out of alignment is an offer that we think, well, logically we think this is going to make money. I heard a coach talk about, like, focusing on this end tangible result or whatever. And we get so caught up in our head about what's going to work rather than what we genuinely want to bring out to the world. And we place all these rules upon ourselves. Like, you know, one common rule is, like, you can't sell intangible results. Well, that's bullshit. The intangibles is the things that really change lives. And as long as you're dialed in and you know the experience people are going to have from that offer, fucking go for it. Because that's going to change the world. It's like the best offers are the thing that's, like, bubbling up, and maybe it doesn't fully make sense to the world, but you know that it's a creation that you were meant to make. So I wanted that to be confirmation for anyone here. So Ashley wrote a post in here, and I wanted to speak a little bit on that. I commented on that, and I think it was just a great experience for the group to, like, be real with each other and help each other. And thank you for everybody who came in there and supported and commented and all that stuff, and, like, gave the resources needed. And I want to expand on that a bit. So basically, in a nutshell, as a summary of the story, is a story of, like, okay, well, you know, I got my business going. I'm moving on from a lot in my life that wasn't serving me, you know, whether it was toxic or abusive. And now it's like there's this pressure with the holidays and paying for a plane ticket for her child. So it's like all these stories coming up of, like, well, if I don't pay for the plane ticket, it means I'm horrible, you know? And it's like, I gotta do it now, and the money has to come in the physical. This has to happen now. And I relate to that. Like, I relate to a lot of shame in the past, in past relationships when I started my business and I didn't get to guarantee exactly we never really get to guarantee what's gonna happen. But especially when starting out in business and you're just, like, learning, And this probably is like many moments in business too, when you're up leveling too, but it's like you're learning how to fly on this next level, and you're like, you're trying to flap your wings, and it's like, wait, the way that I used to do it, that doesn't work. And I highly recommend, if this segment of this live stream resonates with you, check out the day two, because that's going to resonate with you as well. Because later in the live stream, this is sort of like a continuation of the last part of the live stream yesterday. But what I realized is, when I quit my job that wasn't working for me and I took that leap, basically I did something crazy. And I highly recommend doing stuff crazy and living on the edge and taking the chances, because I survived through it and it served me. But also, it's a weird thing, because if I went back in time, maybe I would have, you know, I would have known things, and I would have like taken a more cautious approach in some areas. I would have still taken the leap, but not go as crazy as I did. But then again, I wouldn't change it, because it made me into the man I am today. So it all fucking worked out. So maybe that was necessary. And maybe I wasn't supposed to know the struggles that I was going to see and the layers of my ego I was going to strip and all that good stuff. But anyway, at the end of 2014, I decided to quit my job. And I didn't fully, like I was coaching for a year, but nothing was fully consistent yet. All I had was like, look, I have a savings account and I got credit and I'm going to work this out. But I did two extremes at one time. I've already been working with coaches, but that's when, during that moment, I just had like a moment where I just went all in on every investment. So I remember at the time I joined like a group mastermind, and it was like $2,500 down, $500 a month. And then I was like, I booked two retreats, spiritual retreats I was going to, and it was like $7,000 each. And I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna go. And then I'm quitting my job as well. So it was really overload. Like, it just was so, I was expecting so much for myself. And of course, that created, by taking that leap, it created a lot of pressure for me. And moments of a lot of pressure. It wasn't just like one hero's journey. It was like moments of like, oh fuck, you know, I'm actually at a point now where never in my life did I know what it was like not knowing if I was going to pay the bills or whatever was going to happen, but now I'm stripped open. And by face value, you know, there could be judgment there, there could be guilt there could be shame there, but there's two ways of looking at it. I could look at it as in a way of like being shameful and being like, well, I made a stupid decision and things aren't working out, and maybe I should have just had a job, what like the normal people do and say, and maybe I should have been more responsible, maybe I shouldn't have taken that leap. But then you understand, when you see every entrepreneur, they have their, you know, they have some sort of initiation in their life, and there's no mistake to this, because we eliminate all the things that what we perceive to think that keeps us safe. So we used to hold on to the guaranteed paycheck. We used to hold on to the job thinking like, this is what keeps me safe. But it never was the case, because all of that could have gone away in an instant. So what I realized in life was, the people who stayed at the jobs and stayed in safety and didn't take the chance on their dreams and didn't take the leap, they may have not had that awakening experience that I did, where it's like, whoa, like I'm just like freaking out and having that intense experience right then and there. But they do slowly deteriorate. They slowly, you know, lose their health, because their way of making money and safety in the world, and not saying that all people with jobs are bad or misaligned, there's people with careers and jobs that it livens them up and they feel good about it and it feels awesome. But like jobs out of alignment, you notice the impact it has on people as the decades go by. And it's like, you know, one day I'm gonna take the leap. One day I'm gonna take it. One day I'm gonna do it. Or maybe it's like, it's not even on the table for them. It's like, this is how life is, and it's struggle, and I'm gonna work overtime, and I'm gonna get two jobs, and then I'm gonna get three jobs, and I'm just gonna continue running this rat race. So, you know, there's been times in my journey of like going into the cocoon and trying to become this butterfly, where like sometimes I'd be envious of like the times that I had in the old paradigm where things were guaranteed, or it seemed like I could rely on this external thing to be my source of safety. And then, you know, even other people in the moment, it's like, wow, you know, like they're, you know, they might not be an entrepreneur, but like things right now are looking better. But then when you look at the big picture, you realize it takes a lot for me. It takes a lot, one hell of a human being to be able to take the chance and take the leap and having the bravery and the courage to pursue your purpose. And sometimes even going through what seems like the abyss of darkness or the abyss of death, because many of your stories are dying through that process. And one of the biggest shifts that I've had when it came to that is transmuting the guilt and shame that I had. Because there was guilt and shame of like feeling like I was a bad person if I missed a payment, or feeling like things just, there was never enough money, or, you know, like I wasn't able to show up for the people I most love sometimes. Or even like feel like hanging out with old friends. Like I would just wonder, like, I don't know if I'm gonna have the money that day to do that. It's releasing that guilt there and replacing it with like, replacing it with celebration of who you are and what you did, and appreciating the move that you made for yourself and the people around you. So for instance, when it comes to your own child, which all I have is a fur baby right now, but I think I can talk, you know, talk about loved ones and things like that. But when it comes to your own child and being like, am I being a good mother? Or it's like someone, am I being a good friend? Am I being a good person to this other, you know, am I being a good wife or husband, whatever it may be. When it comes to that, realize that your presence and your love and your being in their energy and the tools that you've learned is miles ahead of a lot of what a lot of people were willing to do. And the leap itself that you made is miles ahead, like ridiculous ahead of what a lot of people, a lot of normal people are willing to do for their family and themselves. It's way more than a fucking plane ticket. And either it'll come down and you'll receive it now and you're like, yes, I am a badass. And it's like, there's this Bill Burr quote, like, I'd rather sleep on a futon. Like, I'll take the futon and be in it, you know, in my 30s or 40s, going for my dreams, sleeping in a futon rather than sleeping in a king size bed with somebody I can't stand. Not saying that you can't have the king size bed and the amazingness and all that stuff, but it's like embracing that futon phase where it's like, but I'm living, you know, I'm living my truest life. And not only does that impact me, it impacts those around you. Hey, Michelle. So gladly. So it's like when you realize that, and on your journey, people will fall away. Sometimes people may even betray you. And or people are like, whoa, fuck, I did not sign up for this. And sometimes you may even feel like you betrayed someone else. Like my former relationship, for a while I was like, you know, there was, I felt like I was betraying them for growing and expanding and them wanting to stay the same, or her wanting to stay the same. I don't know why I'm like referring to her as them. But yeah, so it's like, it's like, you don't have to feel guilty for growing and expanding, and you don't have to feel guilty for, you know, being human. And ironically, you know, not to create any attachment to the plane ticket, but ironically, when you let go of that attachment and that pressure, it's more likely to come. And it's just being in that space, like, if the plane ticket didn't happen, can I appreciate myself anyway? Can I see how I'm in so much service of my family anyway? And even thinking of like, are there many different ways that I could earn or receive it? You know, there's many different avenues, but when we get so caught up into our business and it has to happen through the launch or whatever, then we close off that energy. So Yeah, what I would recommend is to appreciate everything that is going right in your life right now. It's like going general, like appreciating all the things you don't have a high charge for. And it's like, this is going right and I'm satisfied with it. And it doesn't like, I don't feel resistance when I appreciate this thing. And then also love and appreciate yourself for taking the chances and willing to go on a journey that the people around you and yourself can live a life that most people aren't able to live. Sarah, I love that so much about embracing the futon phase. Can really relate to the betrayal thing. I felt loads lately. Awesome. Yes, no guilt needed. Celebrate yourself for all that you've done. Like, you're all badasses here, that badass rebels who decided to take some certain leap already and will continue to take leaps in your life so you can live in a way that most people can't. And it's not even a selfish thing. It's like for everyone around you. Like, all of you are deciding to let go of family traumas and toxicity and like just change your family forever. I'm willing to say all 8 of you who are watching right now and probably everyone watching the replay, all of you made some decision in your life where you're like, this pattern of trauma stops here and I'm not giving it to my kid. Or, you know, I'm going to build a legacy and whatever I've been through in my life in the past, it stops right fucking now. So I appreciate you for that and celebrate yourself for that as well. Absolutely. So now let's go into audience growing. Sarah had a question in this thread. I think that's the only question here. To grow my audience, I'm showing up in groups a bit more, but genuinely feel nervous about the etiquette or whatever because I seem to mess it up and the wrong thing or something. Then I shy away and ignore all groups except yours. So why are you asking me? I'm the one who gets kicked out of groups. Like, maybe I don't think you're asking the right person this question. No, I'm just kidding. So by the way, just so everyone knows here, Sarah knows, but like Rebecca and I met in a Facebook group that we both ended up getting kicked out of after we met each other in person. So that was fun. It was cool while it lasted. So my advice of what not to do, don't make a post about how the group admin posts about selling her program grossed you out about how she tried to sell it, because usually the admin doesn't like that and they'll kick you out. But anyway, as for Facebook groups, there is power in having, you know, obviously you want to respect the space that you go into, but there's power of not giving a fuck of like, I'm just going to be me and they're free to kick me out or whatever. But I'm going to be me. Like, that's a true sign of a leader. And of course, you want to read the rules and you want to see, you know, what goes on in that group and what the vibe is. And in fact, I would even tune into the vibe of that Facebook group and ask yourself, it's like, is this a place that I would like to hang out? Is this something that I vibe with? Because automatically, sometimes we get in our head and we're like, I just want to build my audience. And we go into these groups that don't light a fire under us, like we're not excited about. But every kind of meh or no that we let go of, there's available space for a fuck yes. So I would highly recommend finding like just three will be the theme here on this live stream. It's all in threes. But think of three groups that really have you saying fuck yes and focus on those groups. And if you ever question yourself, you can always message the admin or whoever else is in charge of the group and be like, hey, just wanted to know what would be most valuable for your group. You know, I'm Sarah and I'm helping fitness people do business stuff and rocking their lives out. Like, what can I provide for your group that would be super fucking valuable? That would be like, you know, like the last thing if you're really unsure, but like all you really have to do is read the rules and tune in with the energy of the group and be like, okay, I'm going to be present with this group and I'm going to create content around what I feel is best for this group. What's up, Steven? I saw your face, but I don't see you in here yet. Or maybe you're like, peeking from outside. So yeah, do that. And, you know, there's, it's also a thing of when it's not aligned, it's you're meant to break apart anyway. So it's like if you do get kicked out of the group, you're probably meant to be kicked out of it anyway. You know, so there's that. And there's an abundance of groups out there. So, but yeah, that's good. Katrina, look, Katrina's awesome with her group, and she's not really too... There's not many people that I've saw kicked out of it. So you'll be accepted in there. Your energy is good. You're going to be good in there. Like, I already know. And you can read some of the rules, but, like, your vibe just matches that community. So that's a done deal. And I'm glad that three things help. That's something that I wanted to talk about today too, is when we're talking about growth strategies and audience building, a lot of times less is more. It's a daily ass kickery for revolutionary fucking leaders. It's a pretty long group, long group name, but daily ass kickery for revolutionary fucking leaders. There's a similar thread. Like, it's just a similar vibe. I just feel like, you know, it's a group of non-conformists, so it's really good. But anyway, like, whatever strategy, audience building strategy you do, less is more. And the thing that can stress you out the most is saying, I need to be on 15 different platforms. I got to do YouTube, a podcast, a LinkedIn, a blah, 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 blah. And when you feel scattered like that, when you feel like too much is going on, focus down on three. You can do a lot with three platforms. And mastery is key there. So it's better to master like one thing rather than trying to master 15 things at once, or trying to like get yourself everywhere. It's like, it's better to be a presence in one group rather than like lazily going through 15 different groups and copy and pasting content. So, wanted to let that be known. Like, for me, I've been expanding and repurposing my content, and like, someone brought up LinkedIn, which sounds cool, but I had to like take it back and be like, no, but not right now. You know, because I'm already expanding more on Instagram and YouTube, and I'm doing my podcast, and I've been writing books. It's like, let's scale it back a little and just have a good time. Because what happens is, you feel like when you're mastering one thing, there's an end in sight and you feel in an overflow and you feel clear. But if you have like 15 things going on at once, you're like, at the end of the day, you're like, fuck, I didn't post on this platform and that platform, and I got to do more and I got to do more. So it's a constant energy of feeling like you're in scarcity. So keep it simple is my recommendation. My buddies and I are doing IGTV Challenge Insider Pod. I deleted my LinkedIn and then it blew up like a month later. Well, that's fucking awesome with the IGTV thing. And yeah, you'll notice when you close those energetic loops too, it'll help you as well. When you have like leaky things where you feel like you're not in alignment with something, or you're not really you're checking out of, or you're not really fully tuned in with doing, then it just creates this like energy drain for you. So the more closed loops you can make, like, you know, do inventory. What's up, Emily? More inventory that you can do with the different platforms there are, and just cut out the things that don't work, the better. So I said today was going to be the theme of three. So first I'm going to go into a more practical sense, and you can kind of adjust this intuitively, because we're all intuitive here, and something that's too rigid probably doesn't feel good. But first I want to express like a practical sense of audience building, so you have something in your mind that you can like write down as a task. So the thing that I learned that was powerful for me in building any social media, but definitely Facebook, is the 3x3x3 method. And what the 3x3x3 method is, oh, I just saw someone angry face one of my comments on. That's a distraction. I'm gonna close my laptop. The 3x3x3 method is you friend one person that is aligned to your message and that you feel aligned with. You comment and all these reaction hearts. You comment and give genuine comments on their posts, on their timeline. And this is where it really comes in. It's like, hey Craig, this is where it really comes in. You're looking at their profile and do you feel like, it's like the same thing as I said when you go into groups, is like, does their profile like light you up? Is this someone that you would genuinely love to know? Because you want your comments to be genuine. You don't want to be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. I agree that your shitty show is amazing, but I don't really agree. Like, that's not what connection really is. So find someone that lights you up, friend them, friend request them. And usually I do it with like someone who has a good amount of mutual friends, so we're in a similar network. And then comment on their post with genuine comments, like one or two comments, and love heart something you genuinely love heart. And something that can be added to this, but doesn't necessarily need to, is like an intro message. But sometimes it just feels like introduction messages are too canned. Like, it just feels kind of basic. What I like to do personally is I like to engage with people on their timelines and have a conversation. And when I'm engaging with their stuff, then my stuff is showing up on their timeline, and I'm like starting to be on top of their newsfeed, and then there's momentum there of us reacting to each other's stuff and commenting on each other's stuff. Then you have a natural connection rather than this kind of cookie cutter intro message of like, hi there, Craig, how are you doing? It's good to introduce myself to you. What do you do in the world? You know, it's sometimes that, you know, that feels kind of played out, but when it's a natural interaction and you've already, like, I look at the timeline and each other's walls as like, you know, talking in a venue or, you know, something like that. And inbox feels more like someone's house. So it would be like in a normal interaction of like, you're just walking into someone's house and you're like, hey, nice to meet you. And you're like, dude, why the fuck are you in my house? I'm an introvert. So anyway, not saying that intro messages are bad. I'm just giving a different perspective. If you currently send out intro message and build out amazing connections, that's fucking awesome. I celebrate you. What's up, Eva? I celebrate you. That's cool. But just a different perspective of like, being cool with like engaging on their wall and setting, you know, interacting and having that conversation in the open, and then bringing it onto a message. And what I highly recommend is that your profile is set up where people go to your timeline and they know what you do and how you serve people. They know your personality, so you're showing up unfiltered. In fact, I want to read a post. I want to read a scripture. James is here. Uncle Jimbo is here, and he missed it. That's such a shame. It's such a sad story. But you want people to be able to go on your timeline and to feel your energy and to know the stuff that you're offering. So part of my sales activity is putting the program that I'm offering in a nice graphic on my header. You know, let people know what I have going on, or consistently have a call to action in my post, or just let my posts convey how I help people. But it's not just that, it's who you are as a person. Like, what are some of the quirky stuff that people would love about you? What's your sense of humor? What's your story? Like, post about your story, your emotions, like the things that you like, even if it's outside of your niche and it's more about you, because the revolutionary way to do it is seeing the niche as you rather than a niche as something that you do that is outside of you. And when you become the brand, then people fall in love with that brand. And it separates you from all the people that may be doing something similar than you, but it's your unique personality and the way you show up is what brings in your ideal clients. Stupid clients, don't they know I'm busy trying to figure out how to get more clients? Perfect. Mushroom coffee. Sexy ginger Jesus. Remember that, Jimbo. You are the fucking niche. Or the niche. I was having a conversation today, how some people say niche, and some people will say niche, and like there's this whole thing of like niche bitches, but it works both ways. It could be niche bitches or niche beaches. So, you know, either way works. All right, so I wanted to pull up this post for a little bit. But anyway, as I was saying on like the last live stream, think of different ways that people can experience you through your timeline. So some of it will be posts that you're guiding people with what you do and what you're an expert at. Some of it will be showing your personality and your vulnerability and the different types of personalities you have, but like, you know, like the vibe that you have as a person you are. Hell yeah. And all of my stuff is at sexygingerjesus.com. And then also your life experiences. So like photos of you on an adventure or you hiking or you going to a restaurant on date night, or, you know, showing them a bit of your workouts or like, you know, having variety in your timeline. So something that I say is like, you know, like what a lot of people they'll ask is like, what's a perfect amount of time to do a live stream or how many words should I post in my posts and all that stuff. And what I recommend is switching it up. Switch it up. Like have something that is like a short, precise quote where you can put the black background. Just don't use magenta because that's James and he gets really upset about that. But, you know, if it's like the black background or the Halloween background or whatever, like just a powerful quote. And maybe that's even repurposed from a longer post or a live stream that you did. And then maybe you would have a live stream or a short video. Maybe you have like an hour long live stream one day, but the next day you have a 10-minute live stream where you just want to get to the point and just say, hey, this, I got this going on, blah, 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 blah. And here's a tip for you today. So you have a mixture there, you have a medley there that's showcasing your personality. So basically, when it comes to building your audience, and this is a way of attracting people rather than being the tugboat and like chasing people, you're adding people to your friends list, and automatically they know how you can help them. Automatically they go to your timeline and they're like, wow, this was extremely helpful for free. And automatically there's a chance for them to buy from you because you're doing sales activity where you're announcing your program, you have a link to your program where you have the details, like private message me to see this amazing thing that's going on. So like right there, it's transparent of who you are as a person, what the vibe is, what they're, you know, it's like an instant reaction. And when you do it the right way, it's gonna be an instant reaction of like, I love this person or I can't stand this person and I'm getting the fuck out. So you're not creating a zone of indifference. You're giving them a chance of being like, oh, like immediately realizing, holy fuck, this is my person. And they may even be instant buyers or they're just like instant engagers status updates, and they're like a part of your community, and it's like you were friends forever. Or they're like, wait, this person's not for me, I'm getting the fuck out. Which is funny because that's like the small talk conversation I had yesterday. That post I made came from a conversation with Rebecca and I. She was gone for the day, and I was downstairs in the lobby. And this person she usually talks to comes up to me and she's like, oh, how's Rebecca? And then I went into this thing where I'm like, oh, she's at the wing in the office space or whatever. And she's like, the wing, what? Huh? What? And I'm like, you know, it's kind of like WeWork. It's like an office space that people go to. And then she just totally checked out of the conversation. And it was like Homer hiding into the bushes. And I'm like, where did that conversation go wrong? I thought I was doing small talk right. What the fuck? So I reflected that to Rebecca later yesterday. I'm like, what happened there? I thought there was a good conversation. And she's like, you know, what you do is every time you're in public and you talk to like people that are outside of our sphere, you're like expecting them to know you're expecting them to know your world and they don't feel included because you're always talking about like something that coaches would know or someone in the online space would know or entrepreneurs, and not everyone is like us. So I had that reflection, and she said, you know, Rebecca was like, well, that's good for like marketing and stuff, but like, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not sure if that's how she said it, but like, it's good for marketing and stuff and your message, but like small talk with people who aren't in your world, that doesn't really link up. So anyway, I just wanted to tell that story, but having that sense of confidence of knowing who you are and just being like, yeah, you know, like assuming like people fucking know in a way, that has a good fucking energy where it's like you're just confident in what you're saying, and when people come to your profile, they're like, hey, what's up? Now, with that being said, it's also good, like in some of your live streams when you do something, it's like, hey, if you're new here, say hi, say what's up, like encourage people, like have that in mind that new people are coming in. But you essentially want to brand yourself and ground yourself as a leader that attracts a certain people, and it works like clockwork, where it's like, of course this person loves me because this is how I present myself. I come unfiltered, and people just feel my energy as soon as they come in. It's like you're sending out a bat signal and the right people just stumble upon your content. Even new people, they'll come in and it's almost like they knew you for a while, and there's not like all this nurturing, ball fondling that's there's no ball fondling or nurturing or like, let me mirror you to make sure we have rapport, or like weird small talk, like immediately like a fire hose, or like, holy shit, I need this person in my life. And some people may be like, holy shit, this person triggers me and it pisses me off at first, and then eventually they become an ideal client. But with that strong message, you clear out a lot of the legwork. It makes it easier for you. You have to, it's like, I made a quote a long, long time ago. When you're unfiltered in your message, the less filtering you have to do behind the scenes. So essentially, with the 3x3x3 method, when you're adding people that feel like like-minded people that you would love to surround yourself with, they seem like they would make good clients, and the way you find these people is in groups that you vibe with, people with followings that you vibe with, and oftentimes it's like really good. I use Tony Robbins as an example. I'm not like a big Tony Robbins fan, but he's the first person that came to mind. But think of if you're like into transformation like Tony Robbins, it would make sense to communicate with people in his groups and his following and add people and network with that, because he has such a huge fucking following that he can serve a large amount of people with like info products and stuff like that. But hey, Cheryl, hey, Chris, he can help people on a massive scale like that with books and seminars and stuff, but he can't help all of those people one-on-one. And not only that, it's not so cut and dry. There's people that might have the same vibe as you, but you offer something a little bit different, like a little bit different on their client's journey, like on their client's journey. So I don't really see any of this as like I'm stealing clients from people or anything like that. It's like this world is abundant and there's more people that need help than there is people who are helping and living their purpose. So you being the part of somebody's journey and giving them your unique blueprint is so fucking powerful and impactful for them. And anybody who feels abundant, like anyone, like I don't care how many people you meet in this group and they become your clients. Like that's fucking awesome, because we all have unique gifts. So by you being in there, you're in abundance, we're all in abundance, and we're all creating. And we're all creating our brilliance, we're all selling our brilliance, and we're all benefiting off of that brilliance. So thinking of that more than like there's a limit, there's a scarcity of people. And that's another thing when it comes to audience building, and why I think it's fucking amazing to always be, to like manually be building or seeing your audience grow, is because it's inspiring for you. Even if like those new people that are coming in, they're not instant clients or whatever, it feels fucking good and fresh to see new faces come in. And it gets you into this abundant way of thinking, and it just feels like you're growing. It feels stagnant and dry when you're doing content and you're not growing and new people aren't coming in and you're seeing the same faces, and it's like you're like selling to the same people. It doesn't feel inspiring, and it doesn't, you know, it feels cool to serve those people, but it feels stagnant. And as human beings, we're meant to evolve, we're meant to move forward, we're meant to expand and grow. And I'm a firm believer that if you're not growing and expanding, you're shrinking. So to always be, to add that daily thing in, like the 3x3x3 method, whichever platform it's on, and you could decide like, hey, I'm gonna do this for three platforms that I wanna dial in on. But if I was starting off from day one, I would probably just focus on one platform, but like just keep it simple. You know, I'm gonna focus on these platforms and do the 3x3x3. I'm not gonna try to overdo it. I've done that in the past. I'm not gonna try to overdo it or do 21x21x21. I'm gonna stick to these three and slowly allow that to have a compound effect and slowly see my audience grow. And what you're doing is you're the lighthouse. You're not chasing these people. You're not forcing these people. You're just the lighthouse, and they're coming to you for value, and they're knowing you, they're learning from you, they're buying from you, and they're having a good fucking time. So let me know if that makes sense, and if you have any questions on that. I want to end this kind of reading a post and maybe adding into some extra verbal stuff. That's why I'm reading it. But the list of random ideas is what makes a true leader. Be decisive and direct. If your energy or your words are wishy-washy, maybe vibes, etc., either nobody will see you or people will see you, but not your true gifts that you're trying to offer. So the thing that holds a lot of people back is when they're wishy-washy about the thing that they're offering or the message that they're offering. It's like they can kind of be pushed or swayed. People can come in their comments and say something and they're like, oh, never mind. When you're decisive and grounded in your opinions and what makes you, you, like in the last live stream we talked about, the five things you stand for and the five things you stand against, that's when people start to respect your leadership. Because some people might not agree with you, but they have to respect you because you're grounded in who you are and you don't let anyone push you off center. While I'm an advocate of low ticket and high ticket, I can tell the energy when I see someone who's thirsty for clients by advertising a very low price first. You're transforming lives. I said that in all caps. Basically, what I see a lot of people do is they think they can sell based off price. But when you focus on the value of what you provide, then you're moving into abundance and you realize that the higher prices are easier to sell. And this doesn't mean that high ticket's the only way to go. This doesn't mean not to sell low ticket. But it's saying when you're making your offers, get out of your head of thinking like, I need the lowest price or I need to compete with prices, and sell the aligned price. And sell the value of what people are going to experience from that and what they're going to feel from that, rather than making excuses for people of like, they probably don't have money. They probably have this going on. They probably have that going on. When people want what you offer and you offer a valuable service, they will find a way to get the money. Tell people, so what's next? When it comes to inviting people, does it feel like hiding in the bushes? Are you consistently branding your programs and reminding them what you have going on? Be bold and let that shit be clear. So be clear with your offers and be willing to repeat your offers rather than like, here, maybe if you want it, blah, blah, blah. Like, be fucking bold with it and be like, this is what I have going on, and be willing to repeat it, be willing to share it in your stories, your cover photo, your content. Like, that's your fucking baby. I know someone said that's problematic once, but I don't know. But anyway, be precise with your headlines and what you're about. Be dialed in at the end of your end result you want people to achieve, and let it be known without all the other noise. Know exactly what you stand for and what you stand against. That's just like the five things you stand for and stand against. Be totally unfiltered with intention. So that's the whole thing. When people come to your timeline, they know who you are. They know what you stand for. And you have intention and direction of what feeling you want them to experience and what results you want people to experience by working with you. Meaning, stop following any conformist advice that teaches you to avoid your personality or your core beliefs in fear of losing sales. Notice how rooted in scarcity that is. Even if it's a small percentage of the world that loves you, it's still enough to build a personal brand. There's a different energy in having a niche versus being a niche. Be the fucking niche. Stop trying to fit in a box somebody else made for you. The shit that makes you stand out is your personality, your quirkiness, your weirdness, your strong beliefs, etc. Hi. Hi, Rebecca. Lives. Thank you for coming to my sexy ginger Jesus talk. So I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you for being on this final episode of the challenge, this live stream.
Isn't he hot and, with the channels?
Oh, all this praise. And join Spiritual Leader. That's good. I didn't post a link here, but you can go to sexygingerjesus.com. It's a link tree. If it doesn't work at first, refresh it. There's something weird with the link tree. But there's where all my programs are. Sarah says, yo, Rebecca. Sarah
Yo,
Smith.
Yo, Brandon, I got a 3 p.m.
Let's shit.
Let's take this part in the other room.
Oh, my. I forgot. I made an agreement with
That's
Rebecca.
Okay. Love you guys. We're sharing an office. Living together.
I was finishing up anyway.
Hi.
It's cool.
Hi, Internet.
I thought you were coming here to just shower me with love.
Well, I was thinking you would get the hint.
Oh, no, I didn't get the hint. By the way, look at this grossness.
These
gross candy corns.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just kidding. I was talking so much shit about candy corn, and then I was eating it.
Brandon loves candy corn. Now is eating all the candy corn.
Yeah.
That would be Brandon Marshall Hamer. Did you guys know Marshall's not his last name?
Hey, stop exposing me.
Oh, no. We've got exposed to Alchemize.
So, yeah, Alchemize, exposed, unfiltered. But anyway, go to sexygingerjesus.com. I would love to have you in Spiritual Leader, and my mastermind Immortal is there as well, and Spiritual Leader is included
That's
in that.
So if you want
the deluxe package, join Immortal.
I'm like 2 minutes late for my call.
But the theme, all the theme here is embodied leadership and everything we talked about here, and being the embodied leader that gets the visibility that you desire. Thank you for being here. I'm going to shut the fuck up before Rebecca starts. Love you all. Peace out.